But let's go ahead and open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And did you have a good Valentine's Day? I didn't get nothing. I did, didn't I? I got some candy. And cupcakes. Yeah. It was good. And talked to my girls and Brother Benny. They called me up. I got them the strawberry chocolate. It didn't last long, buddy. They were fighting over that, and that was just, they would show me on FaceTime. Is that what it is? FaceTime? You can sit there and watch them. That was good. I sure do miss them. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I was thinking Valentine's Day, and I was thinking, well, there's something good to talk about, and then talking about love. But you know, the thing is, love is important. Without love, you can't do nothing. Without love, it's worthless. Without love, trying to pastor, it's worthless. Trying to love, go sowing, it's worthless. Trying to love, raise your family, it's worthless. I mean, your kids know that you love them or not. You know, I can beat my kids and they know I love them. Amen? I mean, they do. It's different. I knew my dad loved me. He grabbed me by the hair and head, but I knew the old man loved me. You know, I mean, it wasn't the right way to do it, but he did it. But, you know, but he loved me. And that's important. And Sister Phoebe, I love you. Look at that. It's not that cold in here, is it? It's 70 degrees. It's a lot better, ain't it? It's moving up a little bit. Well, I'll try to get it all fired up, you know, preaching. Let me just warm it up. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. It says, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. It says, and though I bestow all my goods to the feet of the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I do thank you for your reading your word, Father. I pray, ask you, bless the reading of your word, Father, and challenge our hearts. Lord, it's this Wednesday night, Father, and people are tired, they've been working. But Lord, I pray just help us kind of focus around your word and think about your goodness, your love toward us, Lord God. And Lord, whatever the burden or challenge we need, Father, I pray you, the Holy Spirit, move through the aisles today, Lord God, and challenge hearts and help us, Lord, and go back out there in the world that we can be a light, we can be a testimony, and we can share what you've done in our lives, that people see that you are a great and almighty God, Father. Lord, we do love you. We ask you to be the preaching, give me the unction, give me the ability, give me the clarity, Lord God, to preach and then be a pastor for these people that they need and that they deserve, Father. And Lord, help me to grow and help them to grow, Father, and as we reach Zachary, Lord God, help this church. We look back and just be amazed that we were so small, Lord God, because you said you despise, no, don't despise small things. But we look back and say, this is where we were, and now look where you've brought us, Father. We love you, Lord. We expect great and mighty things from you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. All right, well, in these, you know, love, you have different Greek words. You have the word eros, it means sensual or romantic. You got philia, it's brotherly love. But then you got agape, that's this word dealing with charity, agape love. Love is it's that love that he gives without giving back, or expect to give back. While we were yet sinners, Bible says, he died for us. Listen, he loved us and we didn't do nothing for it, did he? Right. I mean, he just loved us. I mean, he took us where we're at. You know, last night I led this guy to the Lord. And his name was River. I meant to put on there. Put on your prayer list named River. We're going to pray that this boy gets to church. He's got struggles. He got marital problems. He got all kinds of problems like we all got. It ain't nothing different. He ain't going wicked than more than anybody else. He's just like we are. He's lost. And God gave me the opportunity to talk to him. He got saved. And the thing is this. he said to me, he says, well, I'm going to wait till I get better, or I'm going to wait till I'm not so angry. God, does it matter where you're at? Does it? God took you where you're at. I mean, you don't have to get better and do other things. Ain't that love? I mean, he took you where you're at. I mean, Brother Hall, I don't know how you got said exactly, but he took you where you're at. He took me where I'm at. He don't have to be vile and wicked. Brother Benny says, I didn't go smoking and drinking and doing all that. No. He took Brother Benny as a wicked, vile sinner as he was, a young boy. He didn't do all the worldly things, but ain't that love? Take him where you're at. And God revealed his love to us. And listen, love makes a difference. It makes a difference in my life. He loved me while nobody else loved me. He cared for me when nobody else really cared for me. I was going to hell and nobody really cared about me. You know, I can't really think about how many people really came to me and asked me, if you die today, you go to hell. Or you go to heaven. Because I was on the way to hell. Love does, listen, does it hurt? Love builds up. It doesn't tear down. Love strengthens. How many times have you been arguing with your spouse and all you're doing, you're attacking? That's not love, is it? You know, you're arguing with your siblings, you're attacking. That's not love. Love builds. Love makes a difference. Love, you change things. My wife taught me to love. She loved me first. She cared for me. She showed me that, and it made a difference in my life. But I look at the Word of God, and I see how God loves me. The more I get around the Word of God, I see how wicked and vile I am. I can tell you, I can't give you really a good reason why God put me in the ministry, but He loved me because I was willing to be obedient. He loved me. Love makes a difference. Listen, verse 1 through 3, love reveals. You see the first first three verses, he talks about tongues, and he talks about prophecy, knowledge, and faith. You see the spiritual gifts he's talking about. But without this, love is nothing. It's worthless. I don't care how great you preach, it doesn't matter. It's worthless. You can go soul winning and tell 100 people, but it doesn't have love and compassion about it. It doesn't make a difference. The boy out there was lost and undone. It ain't to have a message, it was one wonderful. He saw that I cared about his soul. And I told him about a Savior that loved him where he was at. Love makes a difference. Listen, it makes a difference. There's value in love. Tongues without love is nothing. I mean, listen, how many times you people talking about the message? They can give you the gospel message, but there's no love. They just give you the outline, you know, point one, point two, point three, point four, you know, we're all sinners and for the wages of sin is death, but Jesus died for you, and if you just ask him, he'll save you. There's no love, is there? There's no compassion. Why would they take it? But you start pouring your heart to the people, and you start sharing, it starts making a difference. They start seeing you do care. And he says, pray therefore the Lord of harvest that you send forth laborers. But listen, he was telling them to pray and have a burden for souls before he sent them out. You've got to have love and care about the need. Get around the Savior. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This, we are taught to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. I don't have to tell you need to love others. I don't have to really tell you that you need to care about souls. If you read the Word of God, it tells you. And it's the thing. He said, look, you know. You do care. You've been taught. You've been trained to love. But that means that when love is... listen. When people are unlovable, does it give you a reason not to love? You've got to say, who's the better man? Listen, church discipline is not fun, is it? Who wants to have church discipline? As a pastor, I will have to do that because I love them. I love my kids, and I beat the snot out of them because I love them. And I tell them, it hurts me, because it does. It hurts me more than it hurts them, because I have to discipline them. Especially that little one that can't walk. That one that is frail. Daddy loves her. Daddy wants her to do right. It hurts. But if I love her, I will discipline her. I will stand and say, this is wrong. This is right. Listen, God taught us love by sending His Son. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sin, sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
You know, Bible's Isaiah 53:10, they talk about, he said, it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased the Father to bruise Jesus Christ because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. He loved us. It pleased him. Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why it pleased the Father to let him take the sin for us. The Son taught us to love by giving himself. You know, John 10:17, therefore death, he says, therefore doeth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it up. Verse 18, it talks about, he says, no man taketh it from me. That means he laid it willfully for me. He died for me willfully. He loved me. He willing to take my sin for me. The Son of God showed and taught it. And he said, and he also not just teach it, he told it, he commanded us to love each other. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also should love one another. By this shall all men know that ye may be, ye are my disciples if you love one another. Ain't it funny that he loved me? He said, now I want you to love others. He says, if you're my disciple, you're going to have that characteristics of loving when they're unlovable. I've gone door knocking and they have cussed me and they're threatened to whoop me. I mean, literally, and I'm supposed to love them? That's hard. But the thing is, if I see it with my eyes, then I see the man. But I start looking at Christ's eyes and see who he is. He loved me as I was in that same position. The Holy Spirit teaches us that pouring out God's love towards us. Romans 5:5. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And Galatians 4:6 tells us that, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, the Father. Then it says, Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but it says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, the Father. Because the Spirit of God indwells us. We see the goodness and the mercy and love of God in our lives. He reveals to us that God loved us. He died, showed us. The Son died for us. The Spirit of God dwells in us and communes with us. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ain't it amazing that I was lost and done and now I'm a child of God? I'm something. I really am something, that I'm a child of God. I don't have to become a son of God. I am a son of God now. I'm His child. I mean, I messed up, but God loved me so much. Listen, love made a difference in my life. I don't preach this to get to heaven. I don't preach this to get a pat on my back. I don't preach, but just because I love Him. Because somebody's going to come to my office, and they're going to be mad at me. Somebody coming to my office won't throw stones at me. Do I do it for them? Do I do it for Him? What about Brother Schreeder? Does he go to Armenia because of them or for him? Because what happens if his wife dies? Are they worth it? Hey, if I lost my child in the field, is it they worth it? Or is it he's worth it? The right perspective. He loved me. He cared for me. God, listen, love was revealed to us by the God the Father. Love makes a difference in my life because it touches everybody. Listen, we love him because he first loves us. Now, in the verse 4 through 7, it says, charity loveth, it says, suffereth long, and is kind, and charity envieth, and charity vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. Listen, love builds lives. Knowledge puffs up. 1 Corinthians 8:1, the last part of section C of it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. 1 Corinthians 5:2 tells us that, and you are puffed up, that you not rather mourn, that you have done this deed might be taken away from among you. Here's the church of Corinth, and it was a sorry church. The church was in sin, and they were okay with sin. But he said, you should have, if you had love, you should care about what's going on, because the man's living in sin. And it's wrong. Why don't you stand up against it? It's wrong. But he said, you rather not, instead of mourning, you just went on rubbing its back and said, it's good. Sin is sin. It's got to be stopped.
Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." Listen, pride is not good. We got to humble ourselves. But Isaiah 5:21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Love, listen, doesn't puff up. Knowledge of what you think and who you are, that's all puffing up. Look at me. Look at how good I am. Listen, there's preachers out there who can preach eloquent, and they got hundreds and thousands of people going, but there's no love. Because if they loved them, they would tell them that you're lost, you're going to hell. If they loved them, they said, that is sin, you got to change. If I know you're doing wrong and don't say nothing about it, do I love you? If I know I'm supposed to go soul winning and I sit in that cotton picking office all day long, don't go, do I love soul winning? Nope. No. So that's what God was convicting me. I'm sitting there trying to study and trying to do something. But you know, I got to do that, but I got to go. I got to start sharing the gospel. I got to start caring and pouring my heart out for the... Because that boy was lost and undone. Who cared for him? I could have said, I'm too busy. It's 11:30 at night. I'm tired. I want to go home. But he was hurting. I didn't do it for you. I didn't do it for me. I did it for him because he was hurting, because there I was one day. Listen, love doesn't puff up. Love edifies. The purpose of spiritual gift is the edifying, the spiritual gift in our lives is to edify the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It was given to us to profit withal, to build. It says 14:26, let all things be done of edifying. But suffereth long. Listen, it speaks of long boiling. It's like a water. It takes long to boil. It's not quick to resentment. It's not ready. It's ready to forgive.
Looking with enmity. It says, is not filled with discontent of others or happy of others' prosperity. It does care what other people's are. People envy because they're discontent what others are prospering. I can get envy of another church and say, look, they're doing this and they're doing this. That's not love. I'm focusing on me. It's about others. Is it better to stay a small church and lives grow and change and these kids get up and they go and do great things for God and then have a big church and nobody do nothing? Listen, love changes. It edifies. It's not envying. Verse 4, it continues, it says, charity envieth not and charity vaunteth not itself. It's not boastful. It doesn't brag. It doesn't promote. It promotes others. Romans 12:10 says, be ye kindly affected one to another with brotherly love and honoring and preferring one another. That means I'm regarding caring about somebody else's needs over my needs. I'm looking at others and not worrying about focusing on me. I'm caring about somebody else. I mean, you know, Valentine's Day, if they're not loving it. Listen, I gave my children and my wife flowers and stuff like that because I love them. Not to get something back from them. It's not boasting. Look what I did. It's not unseemly. It's not becoming rude or indecent. It gives due respect to superior. It's a respect to the opinions. It's not rude. You know, the guy in your charge of your job or over you, if you love God, you're supposed to submit under that authority and follow that authority because you respect the authority that God ordained. And the thing is, first thing we want to do is say, no, it's not the way I would do it. I would do it this way, and this is how you should do it. Or they're rude to you. You want to be rude back. Love seeks not its own, but it doesn't seek not our own. It's not evil. It doesn't think of no evil. It doesn't keep records of the wrong. It forgives. It wipes away the records. How many times... men or women that you've been arguing with your spouse and you remember the sins or the things they did wrong and you bring it back up to show them. You seek your own.
Bible says, Ephesians 4:26 says, be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I tell that boy, you better go home. Go tell your wife you're loving. Even if she is completely wrong, you handle it wrong, probably. Let her know you love her. Let her know you care about her. Listen, how many times we've been mad at somebody and we just let it go and say, I ain't going to say I'm sorry. Why? We don't seek love. We seek our own. We're seeking our own. Love doesn't seek its own. Love seeks for others. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I think about that, how He loved me. I don't know about you, but do you struggle when you sit there and people are wrong or attacking you? You want to say, I'm sorry, it's okay, you're forgiving. And never bring it back up. I want to get right back. I want to let you know you crossed a line. The thing is, love is saying, hey, look, love, charity, this is love that I'm giving because I love you. You know, my marriage is dependent upon me being completely faithful to my wife, where I'm going to say, no matter what takes place, I'm committed to her. And she's committed to me. It doesn't matter. Because I promise you, I've not loved her the way I've ought to love her for 20 years. I've failed her many, many times. She's failed me many, many times. I'm talking about not gross immoral sins. I'm talking about just being there. When she was hurting, I didn't care. I was thinking about me. See, love cares about the other. And I noticed that when people have been married 40 and 50 years, they really bond and there's a closeness that they have. I have the closeness now that I didn't have when I first got married. But it's that it grows. It bonds. Listen, it hurts me when I hurt her. Because she's part of me. But you know, again, it says, be kind one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. About verse 6, it says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. It doesn't boast in the sin of the people. Listen, they were boasting the sin of the church. They didn't find pleasure. They found pleasure here in the sin. They didn't care about it. How about it says verse 7, beareth all things. It means to basically roof over or to cover the sin. Remember the days of, I'm losing time. I'm thinking about this girl. She did something. She kind of snuck out. She was wrong. She snuck out of the house. And her dad found her, and it was an issue. I don't think anything immoral took place, but they said there's a problem. And what I'm bringing up is this: I wasn't there. It happened before I even got to that church. But when I got to that church, guess what I'm hearing about the story? 5 years later. Why are they telling me 5 years later about something that the girl did? The girl and the boy didn't do anything immoral. But the thing is, they snuck out. It could have happened. But the problem is, he wants to bring it back up. Love don't bring it back up. Love covers it. It's not talking about covering sin that you committed. Listen, when I commit sin, I can get right with God. And only by the blood of Christ that cleanses that. But I know that Brother Mike did something. I don't need to keep bringing it back about Brother Mike. Brother Mike, remember what you did? Let me tell you what Brother Mike did. The sins of this church past, it doesn't matter no more, does it? It don't. Listen, it got right. If it got right and it was done right, then continue on. There's no reason to bring it up. Well, you know what Brother so-and-so did 3 years ago? It don't matter. Because we all got a baggage. We all sin. We all know we sin, don't we? But love covers it. Listen, love builds. It doesn't tear. It doesn't brag. It doesn't tear down. It covers it. Days of Noah. Ham told his brothers, look what he did. Noah covered it. The Bible says, he that hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers sins. Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeated a matter separate the very friend. Love wants to do our very best for others. Love wants to cover that sin. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Brother, if any man be overtaken of fault, which are spiritual, restore that such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, let thou also be tempted. Bear one another your burdens, so you be filled with the law of spirit." We don't kick or wound, do we? We don't eat or young, do we? We need to love and care what's taking place of others and say, you know what? Listen, I ain't talking about sin that people's done and say you covered up like they did in Acts chapter 5. I mean, 1 Corinthians 5. Listen, you face sin, you deal with it, and you go on. Only the blood of Christ cleanses sin. Listen, love is lasting. Verse 8 goes on and says, "Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, whether they fail, or whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish." The Corinthian prize is this gift of love, speaking in tongues. But listen, Bible says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Bible talks about for the love of God is mercy. Lord is good; His mercy in everlasting; His truth endureth to all generation. These things will not be here forever, but God's love continues. Love outlasts faith. Our love outlasts hope. For one day we will see Christ. One day when He comes to get us in heaven, those things will go away, but love continues. Love makes a difference in our life. If you are critical, if you always want to boast how well you're doing and others are doing bad, how do you say you love them? You say, "I sit here right now and go, this is the worst message you ever preached. But the thing is this, I don't preach it to you to satisfy you. I preach it for Almighty God." You say, "There's failure. There He is. You love me? How much you pray for me?" You got a next door neighbor. You see the sins and wickedness. How much you love them? "You must love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And as thy neighbor," the second man is, "love thy neighbor as thyself." How can we say we love God and we care about souls and we criticize and tear down? How can we say we love God when people are hurting with burdens? I think of Brother Irv and the situation. I think Brother Benny's eye. You know, Brother Hall had a problem with his heart, and I remember traveling going, listen, we all hurt. We all go through struggle. Love makes a difference in people's lives because they see the trueness in our life. It's like when I'm walking in a hot summer day and you see the shadow. You know I'm coming because you see the shadow and it testifies I'm there. I can say everything I want to say by words, but if you don't see the testimony of my life that I care or I'm really concerned about it, it just means nothing. Brother Hall said, "Miss Audrey's family's not there." Not being mean, but it hurt me. Not because he said that. It hurt me because I hurt him. You hear me? We need to start caring about others. Love makes a difference in people's lives. Somebody loves you and shared the gospel. Somebody loved you and prayed for you. Somebody cared for you. Sister saying, "What about the nursing home?" Who knows these ladies in the nursing home? Who are these men? I don't know them. But she makes a difference. But we're praying for her to make a difference in their life. There's a little bit of love that comes up. A little bit of love says, "You care about me." And the message she preaches and shares makes a difference. I gave my wife flowers. In a couple of days, they're dead. They're worthless. But it ain't the flower. It was the love sent behind it. Brother Miss Sue said, "Pray for my husband." She loves her husband. But if I say, "Yeah, I pray for her," and don't pray, do I love him? Am I making a difference in his life? How can I say I'm going to win souls and I sit in that chair. I ain't making a difference because I'm not loving the people by going and telling them. Love makes a difference. Let's all stand here, bow eyes closed. You know, it's not a very challenging message. It's not a very powerful message. It's very simple. Maybe a very dry. Maybe it's, my goodness, how long that preacher going to talk? Remember, He loved you before you loved Him. He shed His blood. He committed His love toward you while you were yet sinners and playing in sin and living in sin. He died for you. He made a difference in your life. All He's asking you is to love Him and make a difference in somebody else's life. But whatever God spoke to your heart, as the piano plays, you come.